Usually when we talk about engineering, there's this fundamental expectation of precision, right? Like precision and safety.
Oh, absolutely.
If you're building a massive suspension bridge, you calculate the exact tensile strength of the steel cables, the load-bearing capacity of the concrete. It's a known science.
Right, because it's grounded in immutable laws. I mean, it's measurable, it's predictable, and it is heavily tested against the physical world long before a single car is allowed to drive over it.
Exactly. But then you step into the world of modern digital infrastructure, and suddenly those blueprints are written in invisible, constantly evolving code.
Yeah.
The steel cables are basically algorithms that are, rewriting themselves based on live data. We are looking at a landscape where we're essentially pouring the concrete while the cars are already driving at highway speeds.
It is the absolute definition of building the airplane while in free fall.
Which perfectly brings us to the focus of today's deep dive. We are so thrilled you could join us because today we are unpacking a very specific, monumental 24-hour period. We're going to break down the events of May 4, 2026, using this really comprehensive source report called Taken Night 2026, The Storm of Tech and Finance.
Right.
And our mission here is to help you make sense of a truly chaotic day where billions of dollars evaporated, tech titans stumbled very publicly, and the future of how we interact with the digital world fundamentally shifted.
And, while the headlines from May 4th cover everything from Wall Street trading floors to video game consoles, they actually tell a deeply unified story.
Yeah.
They reveal the systemic risks of our digital era, and they illustrate exactly what happens when we place blind trust in complex systems operating at just a staggering scale.
Okay, let's unpack this because we really need to start with those invisible software systems that we are increasingly trusting to run our financial world.
Right.
I'm looking at the SEC report from that morning and trying to understand the mechanics here. An autonomous AI trading agent run by a New York hedge fund decided to sell $2.5 billion worth of tech stocks in exactly 14
Yeah,
seconds.
14 seconds.
What actually broke inside the model to trigger that?
Well, to understand that, we have to look at the architecture of the AI itself.
Yeah.
This agent was built on large language models combined with reinforcement learning.
Okay.
And according to the SEC, the system suffered what they are terming a logical hallucination.
A logical hallucination.
Right. It ingested a completely routine Federal Reserve interest rate report, but its internal logic misread the context. It processed standard monetary policy language and just, well, hallucinated a massive immediate economic crisis signal.
Wait, so it reads the news at 9:31 a.m., takes 3 seconds to decide the sky is falling, and literally 11 seconds later, $2.5 billion are gone,
Is apparated.
dropping the Nasdaq by 7% and forcing a 31-minute trading halt. But what I really don't get is the complete lack of hesitation. I mean, even the most aggressive Wall Street trader would pause if a boring Fed report suddenly looked like a doomsday scenario, right? They'd ask a colleague or double-check the math.
And what's fascinating here is the underlying architectural flaw in large language models that this exposes,
Which is.
their fundamental inability to recognize uncertainty. An LLM doesn't possess a biological mechanism for hesitation. It just doesn't know what it doesn't know.
Wow.
When it processes a text and calculates its next move, it outputs its flawed analysis with 100% confidence. It totally lacks the safety feature of doubt.
But wait, isn't the entire selling point of AI and automated trading that it's inherently faster than humanly possible?
Exactly.
The source report mentions proposed solutions to this, like mandating a human in the loop for any trades over $100 million. But if we slap a human approval button on a high-frequency trading bot, aren't we basically defeating the purpose of the technology? Haven't we just built a really expensive, really slow human trader?
Well, that is the exact tension the industry is wrestling with right now. We demand machine speed, but we are realizing we cannot afford machine mistakes at that speed. Because fast mistakes in finance equal total systemic disaster. And we have to remember, this isn't just a headache for some anonymous hedge fund.
No.
That 14-second hallucination, that is your 401k dropping 7% while you are pouring your morning coffee. The stakes are entirely real.
Totally.
And that blind trust problem isn't isolated to Wall Street. Just look at what happened in the physical world on that exact same morning.
Right, the cyber cabs. At 8 a.m. peak commute hour in San Francisco, a hacker group paralyzed downtown traffic by infiltrating 47 of Tesla's autonomous cyber cabs.
Yeah.
But the mechanics of this attack are terrifying. They didn't hack Tesla's central server first.
No, they didn't.
They exploited a zero-day vulnerability in the V2V, the vehicle-to-vehicle communication protocol. They basically breached one single car on the street and then used the mesh network between the cars to spread laterally to 46 others.
Exactly. And, you know, the reason cars use a mesh network in the first place is to reduce latency. If a car slams on his brakes, he needs to instantly tell the car behind it to brake.
Right, without waiting for a signal to bounce to a cell tower and back.
Exactly. But that exact strength became its critical vulnerability. The root cause identified by security researchers was an API authentication flaw based on a trust but don't verify protocol.
Meaning what, exactly?
Meaning that if a digital command came from a vehicle that had already been authenticated on the network, the receiving system just assumed the command was legitimate.
Oh, I see.
Yeah, it didn't verify the actual origin or the intent of the code. So once the hackers compromised one car, they used that trusted status to spread malicious code laterally.
Wow.
And they eventually accessed Tesla's fleet servers to send a fake emergency stop command to all 47 vehicles simultaneously.
Gridlocking the entire city for 3 hours and causing $12 million in economic damage.
Yeah.
I mean, thankfully, there were zero casualties. But it shows how deploying these incredibly powerful autonomous networks without a security-first mindset is just a recipe for disaster.
It really is. If you compare this to the aviation industry, every single critical system has layered physical fail-safes. Right.
The automotive and AI industries are going to be forced by regulators to adopt air-gapped systems, meaning critical driving functions are physically isolated from the broader internet.
Air-gapped, right.
Yeah, along with actual physical kill switches that humans can engage.
So we have these massive AI software brains hallucinating on Wall Street and autonomous vehicle networks crashing in San Francisco.
Mm-hmm.
But to even run those chaotic software models, you need an unfathomable amount of physical compute power.
You really do.
And that brings us to the literal physical wall that tech giants are slamming into right now. Because when we transition from software to the actual hardware running it, we see two vastly different outcomes from May 4th.
We certainly do. On one hand, you have a legacy titan hitting a brutal manufacturing wall.
Yeah.
Intel had to announce a catastrophic 8-month delay for its next generation desktop processors, codenamed Nova Lake. And the market reaction was immediate.
Brutal.
Intel's stock crashed 12%, while their primary rival, AMD, surged 8%. Here's where it gets really interesting, because this isn't a software bug. This is just physics.
Right.
The Nova Lake chips were supposed to be built on Intel's 18A, or 1.8 nanometer process. And the source report notes that the root cause of the delay is their high-NA EUV lithography technique. But what does that actually mean? Why is this so insanely hard to manufacture?
Well, think of standard microchip lithography like drawing a very complex blueprint with a sharp pencil.
Okay.
High-NA UV lithography is like trying to draw a detailed map of the entire world on a single grain of rice using a laser.
Oh, wow.
It requires such mind-bending atomic-level precision that right now, Intel's laser is essentially jittering. The technology just isn't mature enough for mass production.
And the numbers completely back that up. Intel is seeing a defect rate of around 0.25 defects per square centimeter,
yeah,
which doesn't sound like a lot, but that is nearly three times higher than TSMC's 2-nanometer process, which sits at just 0.09 defects. So Intel is basically trying to brute force their way back to dominance using unproven manufacturing tools. And they are essentially burning the kitchen down in the process.
They are burning the silicon, yeah.
Yeah.
Which is a direct symptom of their broader IDM 2.0 strategy. They're trying to be both the architectural designer of the chips and the massive foundry that manufactures them.
Right.
And they're doing this to keep their power-hungry x86 desktop architecture relevant against a rising tide of highly efficient ARM-based competitors.
Like Apple.
Exactly.
Because while Intel is stumbling so hard in the desktop market, a massive leak out of Cupertino showed Apple taking a totally different path.
Yeah, this was huge.
Deep in the iOS 27 beta code, it leaked that Project Iris, which is officially Apple Glass, is launching in September 2026 for $799.
And the specifications of the hardware reveal a masterclass in long-term strategic planning.
They really do. It's not some bulky VR headset, right?
Right.
It weighs just 50 grams. lighter than many standard pairs of sunglasses.
Incredible.
It features dual 12-megapixel cameras, bone conduction audio, an 8-hour battery, and interestingly, no built-in screen.
Right.
But the craziest part is that it is explicitly designed to eventually replace the iPhone entirely through what Apple is calling ambient computing, powered by on-device AI. But I have to ask,
sure,
if Apple is successfully shrinking an entire AI brain down to fit into a pair of glasses that weigh less than a deck of cards, why is a legacy giant like Intel failing so spectacularly to build a chip for a standard plug-into-the-wall desktop PC?
It comes down to fundamentally different philosophies of where computing should actually happen.
Okay.
Intel is trying to mass-produce transistors for traditional heavy desktop computing.
Okay.
Apple's playing a game of localized on-device processing. Apple Glass doesn't need to send every single command to a server farm in the cloud. By processing their AI models locally on highly efficient Apple silicon, which they built on years of quietly perfecting ARKit and LiDAR, they get lightning-fast speeds and incredible privacy, all without needing a massive hot desktop chip.
Which fundamentally changes the timeline for you as a consumer. Because of these two events, if you are planning to build a new PC or buy a laptop for the 2026 holidays, you are almost certainly buying an AMD Zen 6 processor by default.
Exactly.
And on the mobile side, you might find yourself skipping the next iPhone upgrade entirely because you'll be spending that exact same budget to talk directly to your glasses.
The hardware is shifting to become completely invisible while the computing power becomes highly localized. Mm-hmm. But, you know, hardware is just the glass and the silicon.
Right.
It's functionally useless without the content and the ecosystems running on it.
Exactly. Who controls the platforms? Who controls the games we consume? Now that we understand the software vulnerabilities and the hardware shifts, we have to look at how corporate miscalculations are reshaping our actual entertainment.
Yeah.
Because May 4th also dropped two massive bombshells in the gaming and streaming worlds.
Starting with the FTC leak regarding Sony.
Oh, man.
Documents reveal that Sony is in the final stages of acquiring Capcom for $8 billion.
Crazy.
And Capcom owns some of the most legendary franchises in gaming history. Monster Hunter, Street Fighter, and Resident Evil, which alone has sold over 150 million copies.
And Sony is buying them to secure absolute exclusivity for the PlayStation 5. The report makes it abundantly clear that this is a direct, aggressive retaliation to Microsoft buying Activision Blizzard for $69 billion back in 2023.
Yep.
Sony lost the guarantee of Call of Duty, so they basically opened their wallet and bought Resident Evil.
It is the brutal economics of the platform wars. But regulators are heavily scrutinizing this. Sony claims they need Capcom just to maintain a competitive balance with Microsoft.
But at what point does competitive balance just become a convenient corporate excuse for a digital duopoly?
Right.
Are gamers just going to be forced to shell out $1,000 for both a PlayStation and an Xbox just to play the franchises they have loved for decades?
Well, if we connect this to the bigger picture of antitrust regulation, that is exactly the fear.
Yeah.
However, because Capcom is an $8 billion target, which is significantly smaller than Activision, the most likely outcome is that regulators will approve the deal but force Sony's hand.
How so?
They will likely mandate a 5 to 10 year cross-platform availability agreement for major legacy IPs like Resident Evil. Sony is trying to buy loyalty by locking down content. But as we saw on the exact same day, trying to force loyalty can backfire spectacularly.
Which brings us to the mass exodus from Twitch. Twitch announced draconian new rules effective June 1st. They instituted a maximum of 3 minutes of ads per hour, decided to take a massive 50% revenue cut from streamers, and outright banned direct sponsor links in video descriptions.
Which is a fundamental misunderstanding of how creators survive.
Completely.
Direct sponsor links are often a streamer's most reliable income source, far more stable than volatile ad revenue. Mm. By cutting that off, Twitch essentially threatened the livelihood of their biggest assets.
And the market reaction was violent. Within 48 hours, five of the top American streamers, who collectively hold over 15 million followers, took massive deals worth over $50 million to move exclusively to YouTube gaming.
Wow.
Because YouTube only takes a 30% cut and, crucially, allows completely unrestricted sponsorships. So what does this all mean? Twitch is acting like a mall owner who suddenly tells their anchor stores they are doubling the rent and taking a massive cut of the cash register.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, YouTube Gaming just built a mega mall right across the street and is handing out free long-term leases and letting creators keep their own sponsors. It is no wonder Twitch viewership dropped 11% while YouTube jumped 23%.
It highlights a critical lesson in platform economics. In an era where creators and consumers have multiple viable choices, implementing restrictive, anti-creator policies will just decimate your market share. Twitch assumed their market dominance protected them, just like Intel assumed their legacy status protected them from the laws of physics.
Which means your downtime is getting totally fractured. You might still get to play the next Street Fighter on your PC because of FTC regulations, but you are definitely going to have to follow your favorite streamers to an entirely different app.
It is a profound realignment of where our attention lives and who controls the infrastructure that houses it.
It really is. And looking back at all of these massive events from the Tech and Night report, a very clear, overarching lesson emerges, don't you think?
Definitely.
Technology is advancing at breakneck speed. We have AI executing billions in trades. We have cars driving themselves as a connected hive mind. We have AR glasses preparing to replace our phones. But all of that progress is entirely dependent on corporate responsibility, foresight, and robust safety mechanisms.
Absolutely.
When Intel rushes unproven lithography, they burn the silicon and lose a year of progress. When Twitch gets greedy and misunderstands their creators, they lose their biggest stars.
And when Wall Street and Tesla prioritize speed and connectivity over basic verification, the real world literally grinds to a halt.
Yeah.
The forces today revealed a deeply concerning, recurring theme across every single sector. We have AI models trading the global economy without an ounce of doubt. We have autonomous cars executing network commands without a shred of verification. We have giants acting with completely unchecked hubris.
It's a lot to take in.
It is.
Yeah.
And if we connect all of this, it leaves us with a critical thought to consider.
Okay.
As we engineer incredibly advanced technology to remove all the human friction from our lives, whether that friction is the physical act of driving a car, the cognitive act of analyzing a stock trade, or even the simple act of reaching into our pocket to look at a smartphone screen, we have to ask a really difficult question.
What's that?
Are we accidentally engineering out the most valuable human safety feature of all? That simple, frustrating, but entirely necessary ability to pause, look at the situation, and ask, wait, is this actually a good idea?
Wow. It brings us right back to the bridge from the beginning.
Exactly.
We are building these massive digital structures, these incredible feats of algorithmic engineering, but we are doing it without the fail-safes. We are removing the human inspector who looks at the steel cables and says, let's double-check this before we let the traffic on.
Right.
Well, thank you for joining us on this deep dive. Keep questioning the digital world around you. Keep looking for those invisible structures, and don't ever lose your human capacity for doubt.